Mark chapter 11, verse 27. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Mark 11, 27. I want to read and teach you something this morning as time permits. Thank you all for being here this wonderful, beautiful day. And they came again to Jerusalem, speaking of Jesus and his disciples. And as he was walking into the temple, imagine him walking into our edifice here today. And as he gets ready to open the door and come in, there came to him, there's some men come from inside and met him perhaps as he was coming in. They came to him, the chief priest, not just the little peon priest, the chief priest, the scribes that's going to record what's being said, and the elders who's going to be the testimony against what is said. See, they got them all there. This is a setup. This is a setup. And say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? They'd ask him another way, what name did you come in? He said, if I come in my own name, you won't receive me. So I say, I come in my Father's name. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you, you ask me two questions. I ask you one. I ask you one question. And answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And he asked them this question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Boy, those little brief questions. Those little brief questions. Was John, was he of God or was he of man? Answer me. Answer me. And they reason, they kind of pull back a little bit. It's like the referee's going to see, was he inbounds or out of bounds? How do we call it? They're just going to, we better powwow a little bit. And they reasoned with themselves saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then? This is my title here. So it says, if we say this, then he will say, why then did ye not believe him? If he was from heaven, then he will say, why didn't you believe him? But if we say, oh, he's of men, well, Lord, we fear the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. They went out into the wilderness to see this guy that looked like Tarzan, dressed in camel suit, eating locusts and honey. To hear him, they flocked out there. And they answered and said unto Jesus, here's our answer. We cannot tell. We cannot tell. Well, they were going to get him, and now he's got them. We cannot tell. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. I want to teach this morning from this thought. When God asked this question, why then? Why then? They knew it. We better not say that because he's going to say, why then? Lord, we come before you this morning. Hallelujah. We none of us have an excuse why we can't live for you. Not a one. The Bible says, unexcusable art thou, O man. And Lord, you no longer even wink on ignorance, but command that all men everywhere come unto repentance. So God, we ask you to help us not to find reasons, excuses why we can't live for you. But Lord, help us to find everything comes from you and let us give it back to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. When we look at the Bible, it's a book of way of escapes, as I've told you. But sometimes people use this as a way of escape to their own damnation. Right? The Bible lets us know that you can twist the scriptures, turn the scriptures to your own damnation. For every man thinks he's right in his own eyes, right? We're all right in our own eyes. We all feel justified in what we did because this happened to me. That's why I did what I did. And we always can find reasons for our inappropriate actions. But the first question in the Bible was not asked by Adam and Eve. It was asked by God himself. It was asked by the Lord God, Adam, where art thou? Just a little short, not any long thing. Adam, where are you at? And sometimes when we don't understand what's going on in our own lives, we begin to question him. We begin to question the one who we believe has the answers. And we'll ask God, why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? Lord, how much longer am I going to have to put up with this? Lord, how long will my enemies, you know, and we just got all these long questions we want to ask God. I will tell you, let me pause just a second and tell you, you come that close to losing your pastor on the interstate the other day, about that close to finding y'all somebody else. I was coming back from Lafayette from working, and It was, I don't know, dark. It was 6:30, 7 o'clock. And I was coming back, and of course, doing 70, 75 on the interstate. And I'm in the passing lane. There's cars with me. And out of nowhere, a guy crosses the median. I didn't even see him turn on the median. All I saw was when he come up into my lane and park sideways, just like this. He is in my lane, stopped. I mean, he just, whoop, there he was. And I just, oh, my God, you know. And so I hit the brakes as hard as I could hit them. And there's cars on the side of me. I can't dodge. I can't do anything. And I've learned now I'm going to drive on the other shoulder. A good friend of mine lost his life just like that. A car just happened to pull across, and boom, he hit him. And so, but right when I got up there, he turned just enough for me to squeak between him and the car on the side of me. Just enough. And he put his flashers on and stopped in the interstate. And so I called my wife. I said, the devil tried to kill me, but the Lord said it ain't time. It ain't time. Hallelujah. You're in God's hand, not in Allstate's hands this morning. You're in God's hands this morning. I'd rather be in God's hands than in my own hands. Can you say amen? He's a good God. Thank the Lord. And I could have questioned God and said, God, why did that happen to me? God, why did... But rather than that, I say, thank God. I'm delivered to live another day. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It doesn't matter anyway. Hallelujah. And sometimes we want to question God because we feel like he has the answers to our questions. And I'm not saying that it is a sin to question God. There's many of the patriarchs said, Lord, if I'm so blessed, why am I thus? But it's a whole different thing when God questions you than it is when you question God. Amen. Because God is questioning you to find out so you can come to the understanding where you went wrong. Where you, Adam, where art thou? As if he didn't know. He's helping you to know that you need to acknowledge, come out of hiding and acknowledge your mistakes. Because he's an all-knowing and omnipotent, all-powerful God. Hallelujah. So when God questions you, it's not to be a smart aleck. He wasn't questioning them. He was questioning them to make them question themselves. And that's why he questions you. So then you begin to question yourself. And he tries to bring us to the understanding of this morning, that we have everything we need to live for God. There is nothing lacking in anybody's life to live for God. He said, therefore, having food and raiment, therewith be content. For contentment with godliness is what? Great gain. Hallelujah. And Paul said this. He said, to be content with whatever state you find yourself in. I'm in Louisiana. I'm content. I've been up and I've been down. I'm content. I know what it's like to make money. I know what it's like to lose money. I'm content. I know what it's like to have a good car. I know what it's like to have a bad car. I'm content. Hallelujah. And so God wants to turn it back to us to make us realize that we have everything we need to live for him. Cain, where is thy brother Abel? Short little question. Needs a long explanation. But he says, am I my brother's keeper? He tried to question God back. But God said, you had everything you needed to be content. I already told you that if you offer, you can go back and offer me a sacrifice. And if you do well, I'll accept you. If you don't, sin lies at the door. God is trying to get us to realize that we have everything we need to live for him. Amen. And so when God asks why then, we must realize that he's trying to wake you up to realize the problem is not with God. It is with us. It is with us. It is with us. And so when you realize God answers you a question, asks you a question, there is no acceptable answer. There is no acceptable answer in God's sight because he's given you everything you need. A man came into the wedding feast of the New Testament. He was all dressed up in the garments of whatever they wore in those days for the wedding feast, the white or whatever it was. And he said, sir, how did you get in not having on the wedding garments? And the Bible said, he said, nothing. He was speechless. You see, when God asks you the question, you don't have an answer. You don't have an answer. It's like a thief who's really caught. You can say, well, that was you that stole this out of my garage. No, it wasn't me. Somebody looked like me. It wasn't me. And they'll lie and lie and lie. But you say, look at this video right here. Uh-oh. They're speechless. And that's what's going to happen on Judgment Day. Everybody will be speechless so that the only thing they can say is confess that he is Lord. You have, if I asked for a show of hands today, I'm sure that we would all could raise our hands and say that I have everything I need. May not have everything you want, but you have everything you need. Then because we have everything we need to understand that there's no reason why we can't live for God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul, and all of our strength. Amen? And so we find there's no acceptable answer to God when he questions us. Let's look at Jeremiah 49 and 1. I want to show you a few scriptures this morning concerning, he said, the Ammonites, which was Israel's neighbors. Enemies, but neighbors. You know, you can have neighbors and they be enemies. And that's why he said, love thy neighbor as thyself and love the Lord thy God. And the second commandment is also love thy neighbor. Yeah, so they had neighbors and they were the Ammonites. Thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons? He's asking these questions. Wait a minute. Has Israel no sons? Don't you have kids? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad and his people dwell in his cities? Why is it that you did not keep the promised land? Why is it you did not keep what I gave you so that your children could inherit what you got? So he's telling them, because I gave you this land, because I brought you in here, because I fought your battles to get you in here, and you're drinking water out of wells you didn't dig, and you're eating fruit off of vineyards that you didn't plant, and you're living in houses you didn't build, how then is it you let your enemies, your neighbors, take over? I'll tell you how this happens. You befriended them. You befriended them. When Hezekiah, he got a little gift from one of the kings when he was sick. He had all the jewels, all of Solomon's jewels was in the temple. And he got a little gift. The Bible says that a gift blindeth the eyes of the wise. And truly it does. Just look at politicians. And so he gets a little gift from this neighboring king. And when he was sick, and he was so grateful to God, oh, it's for me. Oh, thank you so much. But let me tell you, what little that guy gave him didn't amount to what he stole from him. So Hezekiah took him into the temple and he showed him all the things and all the treasures of the house. And he came back and stole them all. So here we have the promises of God that he gave them, and they have lost them for some reason. And he's letting them know, how did this happen? How did this happen? I brought you into this and you're not living this. How did this happen? You were so thankful the day you got this and now you're not living this. What happened? Amen. You have to be careful anytime you take someone into your home, literally, or into your circle of friends or whatever it may be. You have to be careful, because I'm telling you, spirits go with people. Spirits go with people. So if you keep people in your home or in your circle of friends, their spirit goes with them. Oh, Lord, I better talk over here. And you see what happened was, and now you take Jonah, for example. Jonah was running from God. He had a bad spirit. Yes, he was called of God, but he had a bad spirit. They took Jonah into the boat, right? What happened? All those mariners, they were sailing along fine until Jonah got on the boat. But when Jonah got on the boat, the spirit of Jonah was with him. The seas got rough and the waves started going up. And they're like, Lord, who betrayed their God? Who is it that's done this? We need to find out. It was Jonah. When you take Jonah in your boat, you get all the things that go with Jonah. I don't know why I'm saying that, but you need to hear that this morning. That you cannot exclude, you can't take the person in and not get the spirit too. Verse 19. of Jeremiah 8. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country, in bondage. Is not the Lord in Zion? Here's these little short questions. Is not the Lord sitting on a throne ruling the affairs of men? Is he not on the throne to answer you when you call? Is not her king in her? Didn't I give you a spirit inside of a man to rule your own heart? Don't you have a king, a ruler inside of you to do judgment of what I should and shouldn't do? He said, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images, with strange vanities? Don't you know that vanities is just vexation of the soul? Somehow we need to understand that the answer to all of God's questions when he asked this is yes. Is there no Lord in Zion? Yes, there is a Lord in Zion. Is there no king in you? Yes, there is a king in me. And you need to understand, he brings to your knowledge to know that the answer is it's not his fault. Verse 20, the harvest is past. This is sad. The summer is ended. And we're not saved. Had everything I needed at my fingertips to be saved, and I'm still not there. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. How many of you have children? I'm sure a lot of people have children. When your children hurt, it hurts you. You hate to see your children struggle. And the Lord is saying, I'm hurt with you. I'm hurt because you're hurt. I am black, meaning that I am saddened. I am deeply saddened by what I see. I am astonished. Astonishment has taken hold of me. This overpowering wondering has taken hold of me. It's hard to figure out why you're not saved when you had everything you needed to be saved. So he asked this question in verse 22. Is there no balm, which is a healing ointment in Gilead? The answer is, yes, there is a balm in Gilead. Is there no physician there? The answer is yes, there is a physician there. Why then? When God asks why then, he's directing it back to you. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen. God is directing questions to us this morning. Why then are you depressed? Why then are you worried? Why then are you discouraged? Why then are you thinking about giving up? It'll get quiet. Because we all face these things. But he's going to ask you, why then? I gave you this, and this. And you think about quitting. You're so depressed when what you need to do is to come out of those things. I hurt for you. And as a pastor, I know some of you and the things you're going through. And I'll be honest with you, I hurt for you. I pray for you. I feel your pain. But at the same time, I've got to ask you, why then? When we've got a God that does all these things for every good gift and every perfect gift, it comes from above. He won't withhold any good thing from his children. Why then don't we happy? Why then don't we have joy? Why then don't we have peace? Woo! My Lord, I think the rubber just hit the road. Perhaps if we want to get out of the rut that some of you may be in, you need to ask yourself the questions that God is asking you. Ask yourself, why then? Ask yourself, why? Until you ask yourself the question, really nobody can help you. You have to ask yourself this question, why am I depressed? Why am I feeling so lonely? Why am I feeling betrayed? Why am I so sad? And when you figure it all out, you won't have an answer. If you do, then it's a blasphemy against God, because God says, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, love. It's all of these things. So it's not God, it's us. And I realize this morning you may not be able to snap out of it. I'm not one of those snappy preachers to say, snap out of it. I'm not like that. But I do believe this, come out of it. Come out of it. Hallelujah. Come out of it. Hallelujah. You may not snap out of it, but you can come out of it. Whoo, glory to God. Some things take time. I realize that there's some people just wake up one day and say, whoo, this is over. I'm through with this. And they really change overnight. But sometimes it takes a while for people to realize, I need to come out of this. Hallelujah. And so my prayer this morning is that you not stay in the condition you're in. Why is as the scripture still says on the screen there, the health of my people recovered. Why haven't recovered? I came to open up blinded eyes, to mend the brokenhearted, to bind up them that are bruised. I came to do that. Why then do I feel like I feel? Oh, my God. So they came to Jesus, meeting him at the door. You thought I'd got lost, didn't you? They came to Jesus, meet him at the door with the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. We got them all there. And so Jesus, being as smart as he was, he didn't avoid going through the door. He knew that they were going to approach him, but he already knew what he would ask. And they asked him these two questions: by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus had always that great ability to redirect the question back to you. And so he says, okay, look, I have one question for you, and if you can answer my question, I'll answer your two. And so he said, concerning John the Baptist, y'all know him? Oh, yeah, we know John. Was he of heaven or of earth? Was he of heaven or men? Answer me. How long does it take you to answer this? And they had to huddle up and figure out what it was. And see, John had disciples. See, this is where I'm going. John had disciples. John was baptizing people. John had a crowd. John was doing great things. John was calling them vipers, and the axe is laid at the root of every tree. If you don't bring forth fruit, we'll cut you down. He was doing that. And y'all didn't do nothing to him. See? John, what about John? Was John of heaven or was he of earth? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, verse 31 of Mark 11, reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, here's that question, why then? He will ask us back, why then did you not believe him? If he was from heaven, why didn't you follow him? But they weren't. The people did. They didn't. And so they begin to say, well, let's see what else we can say, because he's going to ask us this question, why then? And we don't have an answer. But if we say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. They had let John go so long that the people were following him by the multitudes, but they didn't stop him. Now here comes Jesus. They want to stop him. He says, wait a minute. I have disciples. John had disciples. John baptized. I baptize. I do great things. John did great things. You didn't stop him. Why are you trying to stop me? You didn't ask him by what authority he is. You said, who are you? He said, I'm not the Christ. I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And you let him speak. You see what he was doing? He turned it back to them, and you allowed John. And that's why it's tough sometimes in a church when you pastor and all things, because sometimes you allow something, and the next thing I know, someone's going to say, well, you allowed them to do it. You let them get away with it. You let them use it. You let them. So sometimes you have to draw a line and say, nope, nobody. Nobody. Because people do that. You already know that, did you? They do. Trust me. Verse 33, and they answered and said unto Jesus, we're neutral on this. We cannot tell. Let me tell you something. I've got a car and you got a car. It's basically got three gears, right? Well, two gears, really. Forward or backward. Because neutral is not in gear. It's not in gear. Neutral uses up your energy and goes nowhere. You'll run out of gas in neutral and never go anywhere. A lot of people do that in living for God. They run out of gas and never go anywhere. They never do anything. They're just idling. I don't know. Could be the best thing. Could be the worst thing. I don't know. I don't know if you should do this or maybe you should do that. And they never do anything. I like people that make a decision. And if it's wrong, you say, hey, I was wrong. I tried. I was wrong. There's no penalty really in God's sight for being wrong. Just admit you're wrong. But doing nothing, oh, hear me, doing nothing is a sin. He said every idle word will be brought into judgment. He asked the guy who gave him the talents. He said, the one that had the one, he come back with what? Nothing. He said, I know thou art an austere man, and I know you're a hard man. You reap where you sowed not. So I hid mine. He put it in neutral. He said, I just hid mine, and here it is. He said, you didn't go anywhere. I'd rather you lost it trying to gain me something than to come up with the same thing I gave you. At least I know you were trying, but you didn't even try. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, somebody needs to get out of neutral. Get out of neutral. We cannot tell. We cannot tell whether he be from heaven or we be from earth. So let's just say we don't know. But if you want heaven to answer you, my brothers and sisters, there are some things you need to acknowledge. You must acknowledge some things or heaven is closed to you. You got to remember, he said that my people, which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and what? Repent of their sins and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and restore and heal their land. He's waiting on you to acknowledge it's not his fault. Let's read real quick before I close here. In Psalms 32 and 5, David is a great patriarch to look at the highs and the lows of people's lives. David had made a huge, huge mistake. As I've said many times, you would have never voted David to be the pastor of this church. Yet he sat on the throne, and God said, I'll sit on his throne. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Not unto me, not unto somebody else, but unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's why you confess to God. He's the only one that can forgive you. Man can't forgive you. God can forgive you. So confession is when God doesn't have to ask you the questions. It is when you say, so God doesn't have to say, where art thou, Adam? When he came in the cool of the evening and said, Lord, I'm over here. I messed up. I need help. Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. It would have been a whole different deal. I just believe in my heart, I may be totally wrong. I just believe if Adam wouldn't have hid, they'd still be in the garden. I just believe if he had come out from behind the tree and out of the closet, if you will, and come back and said, Lord, this is what I did. And I'm ashamed of it. And I'm sorry I did it. The Lord would have had compassion on him. But let me tell you, God's not into compassion when you hide things. Hide things. Come up. Cough it up. And God is willing to forgive you. David said, I acknowledge my sins. Number one, that's what you have to do. Acknowledge your sins. Then in Psalms 32 and 6, for this shall every one that is godly pray. Every godly person, listen close, is going to acknowledge your sins. Every godly person is going to confess unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely, surely in the floods of great waters thou shalt come nigh unto him. And then the next part of the acknowledgement is Proverbs 3 and 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Amen. And if you'll do that, he said, I'll do this. And he shall direct thy path. Oh, hallelujah. If you'll acknowledge your downfall, if you acknowledge your weakness, and you acknowledge his strength, then he said, I will direct your path. Hallelujah. How many want to be directed by God? He's my director. Hallelujah. He tells me my going in and my going out. I'm like Solomon. I don't even know how to go in and out a door unless he holds my hand. Hallelujah. I've got to close, but I got some more, but I'll save it for later. You know, Solomon did not ask God for wisdom. You know, we've often said that he prayed, Lord, give me wisdom, and he gave it to him. It's not what he prayed for. He said, give me understanding. Because if you get understanding, you can get wisdom. But you can't get wisdom without understanding. So, Lord, you remember I preached about understanding. Something to stand on. So this morning, I want God to direct my paths as I continue to pastor you. I want God to direct your paths as you continue to live for God. And if we can get God to direct our paths, acknowledge your weaknesses. Paul said, when I am weak, I found out he was strong. But you won't find out he's strong till you acknowledge your weakness. It's like anybody that's wanting to recover from any kind of addiction. Until you realize I got an addiction and I need help, you never get over it. And we're all sinners saved by grace. So let me tell you, Paul said, there is no good thing in me. You got to recognize that. There is no good thing in me. And when I would do good, evil is present with me. So you need to realize, even as Moses said, Lord, remember, we're but mere flesh. Acknowledge that. Just say, I messed up. You don't have to tell me, tell God. I just messed up. And don't try to hide it. And when you acknowledge your weakness and his strength, get ready. God's going to direct your path. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break and we'll come back for morning worship.